Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Hello, everybody. Do you know, we shouldn't say hello, everybody.
Why not?
I heard somebody moaning about people on podcasts not doing that radio thing where you're supposed to talk to one person all the time. And I heard someone recently complain, why doesn't anyone just refer to just me on the podcast? They always say hello, everybody. So, hello, everybody.
But we don't know your name, dear listener.
No, but perhaps we should do that really sort of cheesy thing where I just... Let's imagine we've done nothing and I'll start afresh.
Okay.
I'm going to start the podcast in a slightly different way to normal. I mean, I don't normally say hello, everybody, anyway.
No, we don't normally.
I could just say hello. But I thought I'd make it more personal to the people listening. Hello, you.
Hello, beautiful.
Hello.
How's it going?
Welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. I'm talking to you.
It's all about you.
This is all about you. This whole podcast is about you and nobody else but you.
This is our little secret.
It's like a clandestine affair that you and I are having. This just sounds like we're talking to each other.
It doesn't, but
it's so now it's just sounding weird. So, hello, everybody.
Hello.
I want to start this week's podcast, Ben, by just talking about something about last week's podcast.
Oh, dear. Am I in trouble?
No, nobody's in trouble. But as we were recording last week's podcast, there was quite a lot of fireworks going off. So if you've listened to last week's podcast, you might have heard the odd firework going off in the background.
Okay.
And then towards the end of the recording last week, Ben, I don't know if you heard it, there was a noise going on. And I thought, oh, that's something to do with fireworks. I've got my headphones on and I could just hear this noise. And I thought, oh, it's just noise. It's to do with the fireworks going off.
Right.
And then after the recording, when you and I said, see you later, I was just sitting in the room on my own, just checking everything. And I could hear this noise. And there was something in the room with me.
Oh, thank God it was with you. I thought, what the hell have I left playing somewhere?
No, it was something in the room with me. I don't know what it was. I can only assume it was a mouse, but I thought I'd blocked all the places mice can get in. But the noise it was making was incredible. It was like it was digging to Australia or something. And when I came to edit last week's podcast, I could hear it on the recording.
So this thing was that loud?
It was really loud. It was really loud. So I just wanted to say, if you heard a sort of scratching noise, and because it was near Halloween last week when we recorded, people might have thought that I'd just put some sort of weird scratching noises on for some sort of weird Halloween effect. It was whatever. I mean, I don't know if it was some sort of Halloween effect. I've never seen the mouse. I set a trap in the room and have kept the door firmly shut. This is the first time I've sat in the room since last week. And there's nothing in this room for the mouse to eat, really. So I'd have thought that a bit of food on a trap would be really enticing to a mouse that hasn't eaten for a week, but nothing. So maybe it was some weird paranormal scratching noise.
Yeah, so there's no evidence it was a mouse. So it could well have been Lucifer clawing at the door.
Can you imagine Lucifer turning up at Thornton Heath address? It's possible.
Have you checked the mouse trap that you laid? Is there a little pentagram around the cheese in blood?
I'm looking at the trap right now. There's nothing there. But at any time during this recording, there could be a snap of a trap. There could be the scurrying of a mouse, which will inevitably make me jump and scream a little bit.
Yeah, that'll lead to the scurrying of you, then, won't it?
It wouldn't be a scream. It would be a, that sort of noise.
You know,
that sort
a manly wail.
Yeah, that sort of manly wail that I've always made whenever I've seen a mouse or a spider. And I don't see that noise to be a problem. I think it's
fair
a
enough.
Natural response. It's the natural human instinct. It's fight or flight, isn't it? Whether you fight or flight, I think there's still a vocal response.
Fair enough.
Don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Everything goes through the vocal cords. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I think I know what you mean.
I think whatever... I might have told you this before. I once went on this weird weekend about using your voice to express all kinds of things.
I'm fairly sure you've never told me this.
It was all based on Native American chants and stuff, and there was a lot of sitting on a cushion and chanting.
I'm pretty sure you couldn't do that today. You'd be cancelled for cultural appropriation.
Maybe. And then we had to do all this chanting. We had to make noises. We had to do this thing where you had to sort of make this vocal noise as you felt I don't know, it was like a relaxation. It's like a clearing your chakras type thing, I suppose. But you had to sort of go... and I struggled to keep a straight face. There were people there taking, it incredibly seriously. And I was sitting there thinking, what have I got into for a start? I agreed to go on this thing with a mate. And then, what have I got onto? And secondly, I just thought, this isn't really... for me.
So you didn't feel better afterwards for clearing your chakras?
No, well, the worst thing was on the second day, we had to all sing a little thing on our own.
What did you sing?
I sang a verse of an Elvis Costello song called God's Comic.
Why?
I just thought it's probably one of the only few things I knew all the words to.
You didn't fancy Oliver's Army?
I thought there's enough racism going on at this event. And I thought also it didn't feel too hard to, I can't sing. Although they did say to me on the day, because I did say that I can't sing, and they said, everybody can sing.
Not true.
Well, listen, before you jump in there, he said, singing is just a repetition of a series of notes. It's not about whether you can sing well or not. Everybody can sing.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, so he's a bit of a pedant. He's a bit like me. Everybody can make a noise.
Yeah.
Whether it sounds good or not, you can still make a noise.
Basically, okay. You might as well have said, you're not fucking getting out of this. So that's basically what you're saying. You're going to sing in front of all these people you don't know, and it's going to be hugely humiliating, and we're going to enjoy every moment of it. And not only that, he made me sing it twice.
Why?
I reckon he just saw how absolutely humiliating it was for me. And he went, oh, let's hear it. He might have gone, one more time. Let's hear that again. He didn't do that with anyone else from memory.
You were the only one he made do it twice.
I think so. I might be wrong, but that's how I remember the the event unfolding.
Well, there's two options there. You can either think you were the worst and he was trying to humiliate you, or you were so good he wanted the rest of the class to hear you do it again.
Yeah. The problem is there were a lot... I mean, it wasn't a huge number of people. I think there was only about 6 or 7 people.
Did you have to pay for this nonsense?
Yeah. I don't think it was cheap either, right? And most people, apart from me and my mate, everyone else on this thing was some sort of professional singer, or they were in a band of some sort. So me and my mate were the only two people who had no real singing credentials to talk about or show.
So it's unlikely you were best in class.
It's highly unlikely. But it was the experience.
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't do it now. I don't quite know why I decided that it was a good... I think my mate who wanted me to go, he put a very good case forward, but basically I think he just thought, I'm not doing this on my own. What chump can I persuade to come? And all these other mates going, fuck off, I'm not going anywhere near that. And then there's Trev, who just out of friendship and loyalty, I'll do that, I'll spend over 100 whatever it was,
Jesus,
to come to Oxford for the weekend and sit on a cushion and sing.
Wow, you must have been on chump speed dial 1 for that. I tell you, you not only had, you had to pay to travel to this thing as well.
Yeah, I had to go to Oxford for it. So
Christ.
Yes, then it was a B&B that I had to pay for. So I mean, the whole weekend cost a lot of money.
You poor thing.
Unfortunately, me and that person, we're no longer in touch, really.
Count yourself lucky. Do you know what he's got on to since? Has he managed to clear his chakras and achieve greatness?
He's now the lead singer of Queen.
Trev, I've got a bit of a confession to make this week.
Oh, okay.
I have deliberately been completely avoiding the news, which is probably going to make doing a weekly podcast a little bit difficult for me with you.
Right. So, I mean, when you say you've got a confession, I was hoping for something a bit more juicy than that. But
no, the confession is that I have very little to contribute to this week's podcast right. Because I've been deliberately avoiding any kind of news.
Why have you been deliberately avoiding news?
Well, there is a reason, and the reason was...
So depressing.
Yeah, basically, that's it. Nail on the head. I wanted to run an experiment for a whole week and see if I would feel better, sort of mentally and just in my own self, if I went a whole week with absolutely no news. Now, obviously, having been at work, there is a certain amount of time during the day when they've got the radio on in the background and I can't escape the odd bit of news trickling in. But other than that, I have not listened to any news whilst out at work. I have deliberately, whilst in the van, switched off the news when it hits the hour and just deliberately distancing myself from all of it. And I can report back at the end of the week that I do feel, I suppose, a little bit better, a little bit more uplifted in myself for not being subjected to a week's worth of, let's face it, depressing dirge.
Yeah.
Because they don't exactly fill the news with positive, happy stories, do they?
Not very often, no.
So I'm feeling a bit better for that. However, I do feel a nagging sense of, what am I missing out on? Am I missing out on really important things? Are people going to start talking to me about things I'll have no idea what's going on in the world?
Well, I think it's a very good thing. I've got other friends who have done this, and they've always said that they felt much better for not being part of the news output. Because I must admit, see, with the invention of the smartphone, you're just one touch away from finding out the news. And I find myself, I will click on the BBC News app. I mean, I'm talking multiple times a day, sometimes even multiple times an hour. Just, I wonder if anything's happened. I would know if something happens because my phone would alert me if a big story comes through. I get the breaking news thing on my phone. So there's no reason for me to check. But
I also had multiple pop-ups on my phone from news outlets saying breaking news. And I just passed them, closed them down, didn't want it. So I'm now thinking, because last week, I don't know if anyone noticed, I was a little bit delirious with my lack of nicotine and vape and all sorts of things.
How's that going?
I've decided to ease in it now and again. If I feel like I need a little puff, I'll take a little puff. It's not a big deal. So, I'm not going to go onto it again full time. And I think I'm going to take the same approach with the news.
Yeah.
I think there's a healthy balance to be struck. I'm going to limit myself to checking the news once or twice a day. And I'll have a puff on my vape if I want it once or twice a day.
I would try moderation and coincide the two.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because the news will
deal with
you
the stress.
Out.
Exactly.
Have a little puff on your vape to relieve the stress once you check the news.
I think everything in moderation, because there's no fun in, I mean, you could swear off everything in life and live life like a monk. But at the end of the day, don't you need the odd little vice here and there just to take the pressure off?
I suppose you do. Yeah. I think everything in moderation, when they say everything in moderation, I think that's a really interesting phrase because there are things like smoking and nicotine where you would think, would that be best to get rid of that entirely, or in moderation, if it makes you feel better, is that, that's fine, you know? You know, John Lemessurier, the actor
who played
Wilson in Dad's Army?
Yes.
All right, so he went through a phase, I think I've got this right, he went through a phase where he was really quite ill. And there are episodes of Dad's Army where you can see that he's really not well.
Okay.
And his doctor said to him, you have to stop drinking. You've got to stop the drink because it's killing you. Right. So he gave up the drink for a while, I think for maybe a few years, and he got a bit better. But I remember hearing this story once where I think he said to his wife at some point, basically said, do you know what? I've had a really good life, but it's no fun anymore. So whatever happens, happens. I'm going to have a drink. And he sort of made that conscious decision. And eventually, I think it probably contributed. But but he just thought, what's the point? I don't know if that's a good thing. Are you basically saying to an alcoholic, look, just because it's fun, you should go back on it? I think you've got to be very careful about sending that message. But everything in moderation.
I think see your life as a pressure cooker. And the pressure's going to build up. And every now and again, you need to loosen the valve to let some of the pressure out, let some of the steam out. And do that by way of the odd little mouthful of beer, the odd little puff of the vape, or the odd little puff of a cigarette. Yeah. Do what you need to do to just release the pressure. But what you can't do is unscrew the lid of the pressure cooker and throw it in the bin. Which, you need some sort of balance there, I think.
I don't think people come to this podcast for sound medical advice.
No,
but I think what we've done there is we've offered a very measured approach to dealing with vices.
John Lemessurier advice. I like to think it's called. So, what basically, in a roundabout way, is asking you is, have I missed any really big stories this week? Because I genuinely don't know.
Well, it has been quite a week to not be a part of the news. And it's I don't know whether it's a good thing or not.
Well, break it to me gently.
Well, let's start with COP. COP26, that's been happening.
This is the climate thing, right?
The climate change summit taking place in Glasgow, where world leaders, or most world leaders, or at least representatives of those nations, have turned up to discuss trying to save the planet.
Okay, how did that go?
Well, they're halfway through. There were a couple of pledges made last. This is the thing I don't quite understand about this. They made pledges before. So when they make a big fuss that they've made pledges, do they mean it?
Well, surely you can say, I mean, I can say I'll do anything, but unless you have the actions to follow it through, it's meaningless.
Well, they've all signed an agreement to cut methane gas releases by 2030.
What, Boris is going to stop talking?
Because that's the easiest one for them to sort out, apparently. That's quite a quick fix for certain aspects of it. So they've all agreed to that, right?
Okay.
And the other one they've agreed to is quite important, where all the nations like Brazil, they've all agreed to stop deforestation by 2030.
Is there anything left to cut down in Brazil? I mean, that's an easy promise to make if there's nothing left.
Well, it's another 9 years away as well. When you think of the number of football pitches worth of trees being destroyed on a daily basis, surely they should just say, we stop now.
Let's put the chainsaws down now, boys. Come on. Yeah. But, if you mean it.
The problem is, it's all politics. They've got to sort out the politics of the region and the people, how they're going to replace their earnings. The whole thing's full of stuff.
Red tape.
Greta Thunberg, of course, has been there, and she's been outside. She's been demonstrating.
This sounds like great news.
Well, no, it's great news, but she's not particularly happy. She thinks
pleasing some people, is there? What's wrong with her now?
She thinks it's all. Well, listen, she was leading a chant outside. She says it's all blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. I was going to say, is that no more blah, blah, blah?
No more blah, blah, blah.
It's not the catchiest of chants, is it?
She did get a better chant.
Go on.
If you're not happy with no more blah, 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 try this one for size.
You can shove your climate crisis up your arse. You can shove your climate crisis up your arse. You can shove your climate crisis. You can shove your climate crisis. You can shove your climate crisis up your arse.
She's never been to a football match, has she? She's got the cadence of that and the tone all wrong, but never mind.
So what she's saying is it's all nonsense. But I suppose the thing is we've got to be hopeful that this time they mean it.
Well, I mean, they have to start with the announcements, right? So
yeah.
What was she expecting them to do at this that would have satisfied her?
I suspect she needed them to be more ruthless, as we were saying. You stop the tree cutting now. Stop the coal industry now.
Yeah, but I know I was being a bit flippant saying that, but in reality, I'm sure it's wrapped up in all sorts of red tape and
of course
bureaucracy.
It's all politics. So it's a very difficult thing. So we shall see what happens. There's another week. Barack Obama's talking today, I believe, at the COP climate summit. So he's going to talk sense, surely.
I'm sure he will talk sense, but no disrespect to President Obama, but why is he there? I mean, isn't it Mr. Biden? Have I missed a massive announcement? Is Obama back?
No, it's just that he's there.
Or is Joe Biden asleep? What's going on?
Biden's been there. He did fall asleep at the... But so did Boris.
He?
Boris fell asleep as well. There's two pictures, one of Biden asleep and one of Boris asleep while people were talking.
This is the dangerous thing about me telling you I've been off the news for a week. You could tell me anything now and I'd believe you.
It's interesting you bring Joe Biden into the conversation, because there was one bit of news from the summit which I think is worrying for supporters of Joe Biden and supporters of stopping the climate change, particularly when they've signed this agreement on methane gas releasing, because according to one report this week, the Duchess of Cornwall, Camilla Parker Bowles, was left slightly shaken, but finds it hilarious that supposedly Joe Biden passed gas very loudly in front of her at the COP summit.
Oh dear. I mean,
it was longer and loud and impossible to ignore, according to an insider.
Wow, impossible to ignore. I like that descriptor of a fart. So is he just being incredibly rude, or is he not in full control of his bowels?
I don't believe this. I don't believe that Joe Biden would just let one go whilst talking to Camilla Parker Bowles.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have really thought a president would fall asleep during a climate, you know, meeting, but evidently he has. So,
to be honest, though, maybe if he does shove the climate crisis up his arse, it would solve some problems and meet the methane pledge.
It's hoping.
There's a few options there. And something else that's come out of COP that I want to run by you. Again, you wouldn't have heard this week. So they're obviously talking about more sustainable foodstuffs and replacing meat with plant-based products. And one company in Sweden have created a burger out of plant-based material. But this is their selling point. It tastes like human flesh.
Huh?
Why would you make a plant-based burger? How do you know it tastes like human flesh, for a start?
Well, that's a good point.
And why would you do that? How many of us are thinking, oh, well, that's good, because I've always wondered what eating human flesh has been like, but the opportunity's just not been there. But now you can give me a plant-based alternative to human flesh. I think you're only satisfying a very small part of the market.
Well, do you remember the amount of fuss and media attention that the Greg's vegan sausage roll got?
Mm.
And that was seemingly for no real reason, other than people were getting very upset that but they weren't even taking away the original Greg's meat sausage roll. They were just introducing an alternative, which nobody was being forced to eat. But people like Piers Morgan got so excited about it.
Yes.
It got massive news coverage. So I'm imagining they're pulling a similar stunt to that. People are now going to want to try the taste of human flesh.
Do you think that it might just be that this might be the reason people go vegan? They go vegan because they really are tempted by human flesh. So they have to, a bit like you taking yourself away from vaping for a while. They had to take themselves completely out of the meat market. They couldn't be part of meat eating because the desire for human flesh was always too strong within them. And maybe that's why they bang on about being vegan so much, because they have to suppress those urges for human flesh. and now they finally got together and they thought, well, we can make a plant-based product to replace chicken and all the other meats. Surely we can now really satisfy our desire for human flesh.
Maybe. I mean, that would be quite a twist in the vegan tale, wouldn't it?
It's just a theory I'm throwing out there. Just an idea. I'm not saying all vegans are repressed cannibals, but it's a theory, and no one has denied it yet.
Not yet. I'm not sure how many people were aware of this theory to deny it, but you're right. No one has denied it yet.
No one has denied it. At the moment of recording, no one I've put this theory to yet has denied it. Admittedly, I haven't put it to any vegans as yet.
I mean,
only just thought of it.
They may pounce on the idea because it would make them slightly more interesting to talk to.
Yeah. So why did you choose to become a vegan? Rather than saying, well, man, you know, I just felt I really need to save the planet. Actually, I just need to repress the urge for human flesh. Whenever I saw meat, all I really wanted was to sink my teeth into the nearest person. It would make a far more interesting conversation. You're right.
I mean, I do remember you and I worked with a vegan or two in our time. Mm. And they would often be quite... I don't think they were trying to force their veganism on us at all, but they would often say, oh, would you like to try some of this? It's vegan. Maybe you might like it.
Yeah.
And it was just nothing more than that. They were just being polite and friendly. And I did try that. And I mean, if I had to eat that kind of shit for too long, I think I might crave human flesh after a while.
I've not really tried any of these plant-based alternatives yet. See, I'm part of the problem. I haven't embraced the meat substitute yet, really. I've had vegetarian sausages, you know, the Linda McCartney sausages, but they're, I think they're slightly different.
I mean, I'd be willing to give up or, you know, reduce, you know, do it in little healthy drips and drabs, my many vices, but I'm never giving up meat. I'm just not doing it.
I don't think I could. I think I barely eat any beef, so I don't think I have too much impact when it comes to the real issue is a lot of the land and the deforestation is to create land for cattle farming. So I don't really feel I'm playing. But chicken, I mean, I eat a lot of chicken.
Yeah.
Lamb, I suppose sheep are a bit of an issue. There's a lot of sheep and they probably produce quite a lot of methane.
Lamb is nice.
Lamb is, yeah.
See, this is just making me hungry.
don't give it up. Human flesh, Ben, human flesh. Just consider it.
I will.
And, I mean, it could, let's face it, it could be an answer if we need to reduce the population and not farm animals so much. Let's just start eating each other. It would solve it. And that's not come up at COP yet. No one's put that forward as an option. I doubt Barack Obama will when he's talking later today. But I'd like to hear that put forward as a little option. Just see how people respond.
I might wake Joe Biden up.
And the other big news that you've missed, which I don't know how much of a surprise this will be to you or not, but the government of the United Kingdom, well, they acted abhorrently last week.
Okay, this sounds concerning. What's gone on?
Well, so there was a politician who, Owen Paterson is his name, and he'd been found to be in, I think the wording was he'd acted egregiously.
Now, allow me to fill you up to where I was, because this started off before I gave up the news. This was the last week. Now, as far as I was aware...
The story so far...
The stories to me is that this politician, a Tory politician, had been accused of acting inappropriately with a couple of businesses, sort of shady dealings, which he shouldn't have been doing. And as a result, he was due to very likely be suspended. It hadn't been done yet.
Right, yes.
He was massively denying that he had done anything wrong.
Yes.
And although it looked imminent that he was going to be suspended, he was promising that even if he was, he would protest it and be found innocent.
Yes. So he was basically being paid by two companies.
Can we say this without being sued? Is this now a matter of fact rather than a matter of opinion?
He's still denying that he did any wrongdoing. Let's just say that, right?
Okay.
But basically, so he was paid £8,000 a month by a company for 16 hours work.
It's not bad, is it?
And then £2,000 by another company every other month for 4 hours work. So...
Jesus.
So there's, I mean, that's about another £100,000 that he was earning a year for very little work on top of his £81,000 salary for being an MP. Because, you know, you can't really survive on £81,000, can you? I mean,
it is hard work.
You've got to feel sorry for him that they have to take on these other jobs to survive.
Bless him.
And then he was sort of lobbying government for these companies, and a report found that he had done these things.
Okay.
So, as you quite rightly said, it looked like he was going to be suspended, and if he was suspended for 30 days, it would trigger a by-election.
Now, can I just interrupt one more time?
Yes.
I'm not filled with confidence here, because a similar thing happened with an investigation where there was an investigation into Priti Patel, accusations of bullying.
Yes.
She, I believe, was found guilty of accusations of bullying, and then Boris Johnson decided to do absolutely nothing about it. And I think the guy who ran the investigation quit in disgust, I believe. I'm not filled with confidence that this is going to end well.
Well, there is a human side to this story, and it's a sad side to the story that last year this politician lost his wife. Right.
Yes, I'm aware of that, and I'm also aware it was in very sad circumstances.
Yes.
But I think it is worth pointing out that the shady doings allegedly began before the sad incident with his wife took place. So that isn't really, I mean, it's very sad, but it's not really relevant. Sorry to be blunt, but
it was used, it's been used a lot, because what happened was the government thought, well, we can't have this happening. There doesn't appear to be any place for this man to appeal the decision that's been made. Yeah, basically, he's been found guilty, right, and there's no appeal process in place. So what we need to do is we need to change the rules entirely.
No.
So last week, they put a vote to the House of Commons where the Conservative whips went round and said to all the Tory MPs, you have to vote for this. We'll basically get him off. And they got it through so that he wouldn't be suspended and there'd be more time for him to put his case.
You know how Italy beat us in the Euros finals? Yeah. Can we just go back and change the rules so that didn't happen?
Well, then there was such outrage, Ben. There was just such outrage that the next day, Jacob Rees-Mogg,
oh God,
had to stand up in the House of Commons and say, basically, we feel because of there wasn't cross-party support for a change in the rules, we cannot go ahead with this. So they backed down. They did a massive U-turn. The MP has now resigned. He's now stepped away. He said he wants to get away from the dirty world of politics, or the cruel world of politics, is what he said. He wants to go, well, if you've not broken any rules, mate, it might not have been so cruel.
So they tried to fiddle the rules for him.
Yes.
And then the public kicked up so much of a stink that they just simply couldn't ignore it.
But yes, basically. I mean, what they're saying now, the spin now is, well, no, we feel that the rules do need to be changed. We weren't necessarily trying to change it for him. Well, don't do it in the week where it looks like you're trying to get your mate off.
I mean, they must think we are so fucking stupid. The contempt they must hold for us is unbelievable.
It is extraordinary, isn't it? When you look at it and you just think, God almighty, you're exactly right. They treated Parliament with huge disdain. They've treated democracy with huge disdain. And they've treated the electorate with huge disdain. And the sad thing is, it's not surprising, is it?
No. I mean, it's just what we're used to now. The only thing, from you telling me this story, as a man who's been away from the news all week, the only thing I'm actually surprised about by what you've just told me is that they didn't get away with it.
Well, no, that's the thing, right? They've become so sleazy and so they can't get away with it anymore. They've got away with everything so far, but they can't get away with this because it was so blatant. It was ridiculous. So
is this actually, in a roundabout way, is this actually a good news story that the sleaze straw of the camel's back has finally broken it?
Possibly.
We have now said, I've stands all I can stands, but I can't stands no more. Yeah. Up with this, I will not put enough of this shit.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, I thought about standing outside Parliament going, you can stick your amendment up your arse.
Trev, is it time for another commercial breakdown?
Yeah, let's do one. Let's do one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely, let's do one. Yeah.
That's better. Yeah. Right. So this week I have plucked out. Oh, I should explain what this is, shouldn't I? Really?
Yeah. It's basically an advertising agency, and we've got to come up with an idea with a product and a business.
Yeah. We cram together a product and a business that don't fit, and in the vague hope to make them into a insufferable radio advert like we used to have to make.
It's why the big boys come to us as an agency, because they know we can do this and get value for money.
So this week's business that I have picked out for myself is a bait and tackle shop.
A bait and tackle shop?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't really know what that is, but it's something to do with fishing,
I think.
It's
a fishing shop, yeah.
Okay, and we've got for you, I've generated you the number 4.
Okay, clogs.
Oh, okay.
Clogs are wooden shoes.
Yes, they're not two things that naturally flow together, are they?
No, although they do originate from the Netherlands, where there are plenty of waterways, where perhaps fishing would be part of your hobby world.
Now, would getting clogs wet be a problem?
You'd probably have to creosote them.
Because you wouldn't want to get your nice Nike Airs wet, would you?
Well, maybe that's it. You see, you don't want to take your nice shoes fishing. Wood's quite a durable substance, isn't it? I mean, when I go fishing, I tend to wear walking boots because it can be muddy around the side of a lake or on the On the riverbank.
And it's going to be a damn sight easier to hose off muddy clogs yes. than it is muddy trainers.
When you have to come home, you have to scrub your walking boots, you have to dig all the mud out from the tread. If you've just got big old wooden clogs, I think that would be a. I think they're the perfect fishing shoe, the more I think about it.
And if you need something to club the fish over the head with.
Exactly.
What better than a big hard clog?
It serves two purposes then, doesn't it? It's decent footwear for fishing, and if you are going to take the fish home for eating, I mean, that would be more your sea fish than your freshwater fish that you would kill off, to be honest. But maybe I wouldn't perhaps suggest clogs for fishing boats, because I don't know whether the grip would be any good, although you could probably put decent grip on the bottom of a clog.
Yes, you could do, but so we're not here to sell clog grips here, Trev.
No.
We're here to sell clogs.
But what I'm saying is, if we're selling them in a fishing shop, you could create the clog suitable for fishing purposes wherever. And if you sell them for sea fishing, they do, as you say, have the added bonus as a fish dispatching weapon or,
okay,
or tool.
So what's the concept of our bait and tackle shop
yeah.
linked with clogs? What are we doing with the clogs?
You have to spend a certain amount on tackle, bait and yeah. tackle. So let's set the limit. Spend £100 on bait and tackle, get yeah. a free pair of clogs.
Now, I'm wondering, this might be, I might be stretching too far, so feel free to tell me if I am. But I'm flirting with the, you know, bog off, buy one, get one free,
oh.
with clog off.
Clog off.
I'm not sure what it stands for yet, but I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I was thinking, the bog off would be quite good because it can be quite boggy when you're fishing.
Yeah.
So by wearing clogs, the bog's not a problem. It's bog off. It's not
bog off, clog off.
Bog off, clog off. Clog off, bog off. It's got to be clog off. Clog off, bog off.
Okay, that's the tagline. Yeah.
Clog off. Bog off.
So we've got the tagline. I don't think we've got the concept just yet.
But the concept's got to be, well, it's buy one, get one free.
What, left shoe, right shoe, you mean? That's a bit stingy.
Yeah.
You do expect them to come in pairs.
Well, I think you get the clogs free if you buy a certain amount of tackle.
Okay. And so for the purposes of the advert, I mean, why would people want clogs to go with their fishing equipment?
Well, as we said, they're the perfect footwear for fishing.
Yep.
They're not going to, once you've gone through that bog, they're not going to be clogged up with,
love
with
it.
Mud, right?
Love it.
So that's perfect. And as you say, they're an extra fish dispatching tool should
Excellent.
You go sea fishing. And we do have the trawlerman's version with extra grip on the bottom for when you're on a boat.
Okay, so who is going to be the voice of our campaign?
So there's two options I see here. We either get someone who's quite trendy, some sort of fashionista to do it, someone like Gok One, someone like that, or you get a famous fisherman to do it. Someone like Robson Green does a lot of fishing shows, doesn't he? Or Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer do their fishing shows. You get them on to do like a double header advert.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Gok One, I think it was a nice idea, but I mean, has he been on TV in the last 15 years?
I don't know.
Certainly nothing I'm watching anyway.
And everything he did was about being naked, wasn't it? How to look good naked.
Yes.
We're not advocating getting naked at all, because there's hooks flying about.
No, that would be a terrible idea.
And that's and I'm very sure risky.
And not very true, I don't think, of my physique either. I mean, I'm more how to look good knackered than naked.
I mean, are there any other fashionistas that you could get in? Like, who are the famous shoe people? The shoe people could be the music. Do you remember the TV show, Shoe People?
I don't remember the shoe people, no.
It was a cartoon.
What decade was that on?
It was, I don't know, it was on Channel 4 or something when I was a kid. The shoe people. It's a nice theme tune that went with it, but
okay.
That might not be ideal. We might want something, you know, a bit more modern,
right? And are we about, you know, we're trying to link in the whole Dutch,
well, you
Marika
mean
Johnson
do.
She's
Why?
Swedish, isn't she?
Yeah, she wouldn't be any use
Crap.
At all. I mean, if you're looking for, if you want like a well-known Dutch person to do. I mean, that might be nice if we could
Hans
find
Christian Andersen.
Well, again, not Dutch, but
Swedish again.
Danish, I think you'll find Hans Christian Andersen. You need to move away from Scandinavia, come a little bit further into Europe. I mean, who's and preferably someone who's alive. Hans Christian Andersen's been dead probably several hundred years. Oh, all about the, I don't know, the Grimm brothers. Let's get them. Again, not Dutch, but nearer.
I can't name a single famous Dutch person.
I can only think of dart players.
Edwin van der Sar.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can only think of footballers or dart players. I mean, you get Michael van Gerwen, for example, he's the most talented Dutch darts player there's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, could we link that? Is there a, I don't want to mix too many of our metaphors because I think this is already quite tortured, but
yeah, yeah.
Is there something about spearing yourself a fish and you'll look good spearing a fish with our custom clogs or whatever the fuck we're talking about?
Yeah,
no, we can abandon it. If you think we're going down a blind alley, that's fine. You can pull the Dutch rug from under me if you want.
Could we do one of those terrible conversation ads where we have Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse from the Go Fishing program talking to Michael van Gerwen, and they're sort of saying, yeah, oh, have you seen our fishing program? We go to all these places, and Michael van Gerwen says, well, what is your fish like when you go fishing? And
then we I like that
whole conversation about clogs.
You may have heard me gasp with excitement a moment ago.
Okay, who did you think?
Because I thought, I like the idea of having Michael van Gerwen talking to, who was it you said?
Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse.
Bob Mortimer. Yeah. Yeah. The budget for our voiceovers is going to be a little bit steep on this.
That's
one.
That's fine. We've got the money.
So they can be the sort of talking heads in the advert, but can we cut back for the tagline and the sort of maybe the intro of the advert? Steve McLaren doing his best Dutch accent.
Okay, well, yeah, let's get him involved as well.
Could he? If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, there was this inexplicable moment in history where Steve McLaren went to manage a Dutch side and started speaking pidgin English in this weird Dutch accent for no reason.
Could he do the tagline? He could do the tagline.
Clog off, bug off.
Why are you doing a French accent?
I have no idea.
Okay.
There's no sort of schlur in clog off, bog off. It doesn't lend itself to Dutch very easily.
It doesn't.
Feel free to try.
It doesn't. Perhaps we need to have a slightly more Dutch sounding tagline. But okay, so look, we got four voices. We've got, it's going to be
the
a
most
very
expensive ad forever.
It's going to be very conversational. We've got Paul Whitehouse, Bob Mortimer, Michael van Gerwen, and Steve McLaren. And the tagline is bog off, clog off.
Yeah.
Just need the music now. Just need to find the right bit of music. Shishoo people. I think that's just too unknown. Just to too many people. Is there any song about clogs?
I was just thinking that. None that I can name. Can you think of anything relating to clogs?
You know that song, I Saw a Mouse, where they're on the stairs. They're on the stairs right there. A little mouse with clogs on. Could we use that? A little mouse with clogs on?
We could.
This doesn't really have anything to do with fishing.
No, which is a shame. It's a pity we've abandoned Robson Green because of the whole fishy on a dishy Geordie thing we've got going on.
Well, let's bring him in. He could
another voice.
We could have him singing fishy on a dishy.
Yeah.
So he's okay. Singing it. Let's get him and Robson Green and Jerome. We'll get them back together.
Robson and Jerome. We'll back together. Back together. One night only, yeah. Singing a theme tune for our Dutch clog fishing advert.
With Paul Whitehouse, Bob Mortimer, Steve McLaren, and Michael van Gerwen saying, come to this fishing shop, spend £100, get some free clogs for your fishing, because bog off, clog off.
Sold.
There we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations for you. What you got for us this week, Ben?
I have two, first of all. I have on BBC Sounds, the app, there's a podcast called Bad Cops.
Bad Cops?
Yeah, it's called Bad Cops, and it's the story of one of America's most corrupt police units in, I think, Baltimore. And
that's quite a long list of ones to choose from, I'd imagine.
It's about 7 episodes long. They're all about 23, 25 minutes. I blew through it in a day while I was ignoring the news this week. It's really interesting. I'd highly recommend it. It's very good. And the other recommendation I have is another podcast. Joe Rogan doesn't really need our endorsements to do well. But if you want to seek out Joe Rogan on his Joe Rogan Experience podcast interviewing the American singer Jewel, I didn't know much about her before listening to it. It's a long old listen, so be warned. It's well over 3 hours long.
Oh my God, okay.
But she has had a very interesting life. It's well worth a listen.
3 hours sounds long, but I think if you take it in chunks, probably be all right.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. My recommendation this week is a film on Netflix called Judy and Punch. It's a very dark comedy. Basically, it's the Punch and Judy story told as if they were humans, sort of set in about the 1600s, and they are two puppeteers called Punch and Judy, and they sort of live out the Punch and Judy story.
I mean, that has just got me thinking straight away. Has Punch and Judy been cancelled yet? Because it really is just domestic violence.
Yes. Yes, no, it hasn't been cancelled.
Wow.
But it's a really novel idea. It's really clever. It's incredibly dark, but very funny. Well worth a watch on Netflix, called Judy and Punch.
Nice one. I'll give that a go.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything you want us to talk about, any ideas for products or businesses you'd like us to have a go at when it comes to commercial breakdown. We'd love to hear from you. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.